Achei.
Thank you, Brother James. Very much appreciate the invitation this evening. Very thankful for the prayer that has been offered by our dear brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, Elder Ricky Myers, and appreciate Brother James' warm introduction. I would trust, as our dear brother has prayed, that you would pray for us as we look into God's holy word. And this is a subject that I've meditated upon the last few days, and we would trust that it's of the Lord, and the Lord would be merciful to us to come to our aid and help us in our time of need. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. I'd like to begin by reading verse 15 as we consider humility before the Lord and in the presence of our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and lofty place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This verse begins by reminding us of who God is. He is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Brothers and sisters, just that portion of the verse is really beyond our comprehension. We're subject to time here in this temporal world. This verse begins by reminding us of one who is God that's not subject to time. He inhabiteth eternity. One theme in the book of Isaiah is there's none likened unto God. I can find two places really quick. Isaiah 46, 5, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. Whom will you liken unto me? There's none like God that inhabiteth eternity. His name is holy. And notice he dwells in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and holy spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Multiple times in Scripture we find verses that exhorts us, the children of God, to be humble before the Lord and in the presence of our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 teaches us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. James chapter 4 and verse 6 teaches us that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Verse 10, we should humble ourselves before him, that he may lift us up. There's a text found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 19, which teaches us it's better to be humble with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. To be humble. What does it mean to be humble? Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 repeats almost this very same thing, that God would dwell, would be with him of a humble and contrite spirit. Those that would pray to the Lord, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God would say this to his people that are called by his name, that if we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, that God would hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our lands. But what does that mean to be humble? To be humble before the Lord is not just emotion. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to confuse emotion with humility. Today I was in our little downstairs area with Sister Jennifer, my precious wife, and we were watching some World Cup soccer. And Jennifer said, you know, this is amazing that you'll see grown men shedding tears at that game. And I asked Jennifer, I said, do you think those tears are tears of humility or just tears of happiness of their competitive spirit? Now, I'm not making an accusation that everyone that was there present that game and on that field doesn't have any humility, but I doubt that emotion we see is humility. I'm going to take a guess that it was more the excitement and joy of them and that victory and the competitive spirit. It is possible for a person to be a person that sheds a lot of tears, but still not a humble person. Humility is not activity and action outwardly that could be seen. I think it was the book of Colossians, Paul warns of those in verse 18 of chapter 2 that would have a voluntary humility. That's individuals that would have an outward show of humility, but actually have no humility. It is possible for one to have tears in their eyes, trembling chin, embrace you and hug you, but yet inwardly have a very rebellious spirit toward the Lord and His Word. I find individuals in the Bible that refused to be humble before the Lord. And could I say that I don't find anyone in the Bible showing humility that wasn't first a born-again child of God? How could one have humility before God if they don't, according to Romans 3:18, have no fear of God before their eyes? For someone to have humility before the Lord and in the presence of his brothers and sisters, he would first have to be a born-again child of God. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3, there was one there named Pharaoh, and I'm going to let a cat out of the bag. I'm struggling with Pharaoh being a child of God. But even after all that the Lord did in Egypt, all the plagues, I mean, Egypt, according to their own words, was ruined. He refused to humble himself unto the Lord. Isaiah chapter 14, we find one here who's called Lucifer. I believe he's the king of Babylon with the spirit of Satan in him. He desired to be lifted up to be as the one who is the most high. There was no humility in him whatsoever. I don't believe he was a child of God. But when we find someone that is able to display humility, that's able to show forth a humble spirit, that person must first be a born-again child of God, meaning God's spirit is in him, because natural man is about pride and arrogance and not about humility before the Lord. Now, the born-again child of God has the capability of showing forth and living a humble life before the Lord. Now, I would like to go to a couple of examples of individuals in the Bible that I believe are born-again children of God that I don't think showed forth a humble spirit. And some of these you may say, I don't know if they're a child of God or not. Well, just pray for me and just think that I believe there's going to be more in heaven, okay? I want to give as much room in heaven as possible, and I will try to preach as much hope for individuals as possible, because I believe heaven is a big place and I believe God's grace is more abundant. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4, and we'll find one here named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was an individual that, before this chapter is over, showed humility before the Lord. The Lord had to let him spend some time out in the field. But Nebuchadnezzar was an individual that in his life showed forth a lot of arrogance. According to Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 11, there was a time that Nebuchadnezzar passed over the bounds concerning his labor and work. You know, the Lord removed his providential hedge, and the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem. They were the northern hammer, the power that would come against Jerusalem for their sin. But according to Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 11, Nebuchadnezzar in his pride and arrogance passed over, meaning he'd done way too much and showed forth arrogance and ungodliness in himself. You know, in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30, he looked out on Babylon and he said, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built?" I mean, how much humility was in that statement? He wasn't displaying humility. He was displaying his carnal nature. We can go to one in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, Mark 10, 17, Luke 18, 18. And if anyone is struggling with this individual being a child of God, who is a ruler that had much, I would exhort them to go read Mark chapter 10, verse 21, where Jesus beheld him and loved him. Once I read that God loves someone, yeah, the case is closed. They're God's child. And there's nothing they could do to be separated from God's eternal love. Now, this individual would walk away from the Lord and be separated from fellowship with Jesus here in this temporal world. And I remember Jesus said to Peter there in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, the things that he would have here in this time. You know, there's a lot that we can enjoy, dear child of God, by walking close to Jesus here in this time. Well, this individual that came to the Lord, as an old elder said, he was wearing the eye off the typewriter. He said, "What good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, honor thy father and mother." Meaning this, if you're going to earn your way into heaven, you've got to keep the whole law. Not just part, the whole law. And this individual, still on the eye on his typewriter, he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up," but Jesus reminded him there's something he hadn't kept. And the man was filled with covetousness. This man was not showing humility. This man went away sorrowful. But if he would have submitted himself to the righteousness of Jesus and confessed himself to be a sinner that day, he would have enjoyed much more blessings here in this temporal world. But rather, he chose the wrong path of himself and arrogance, and the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Even the disciples themselves that walked close to Jesus, often you would find them in argument at who would be the greatest. That's not humility. An individual that would desire to be great in the kingdom of God, according to Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, should humble himself and be as a little child. These individuals, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and all the others would argue when Jesus would say he was going to depart from this world, who's going to be the greatest when you're gone? I read Luke 22, and it's almost like they're arguing, well, when you're gone, which one of us is going to be in charge, would you tell us? James and John, they even got their mother to come to Jesus once and asked if they could be seated on his right and left hand when he'd enter into his kingdom. Now, those brothers were children of God, but in those times, they were not displaying humility before the Lord. I could show you a church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 through the end of the chapter, Laodicea. That church, Laodicea, which was not a church that showed forth dependence on the Lord. You know, that's something important for the New Testament church, to have continual dependence upon the Lord for her help, for her strength, for her guidance, for her light. That church didn't. Their words were, "We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." You know where the Lord was concerning that church? He was outside the church and he was knocking on the door. God forbid that we would not be a humble church and desire God's presence with us. Now, we've mentioned cases in the Bible, examples of people that were not humble before the Lord, I think it'd be important to us to point to the one that is our example of humility before God, and that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our greatest example. You know, Peter said that he is our example, and he's left us that example that we should follow in his steps. And listen, brothers and sisters, if there's someone that's following Jesus, it's okay for us to follow their example. But if they're not following Jesus' example, they're not good to follow, because Jesus gave us the best example of all. And he was humble unto God's command, even unto death. If you want to find an example of humility, go read the four Gospels and learn about Jesus Christ and the humble spirit that he displayed before God in all of his life, because he went about doing the Father's business in everything that he done. Therefore, we can conclude that true humility is one that submits themselves to the commandment of God, saying God is right, man is wrong, God's word is right, I am wrong, and if I am going to be right in this world, it's because of God's grace and me following his word. That's true humility. Being humble unto God. And that individual is able to display that humble spirit in the presence of his brethren and sisters because he is living in fear and reverence of God, and in doing so, he will show forth respect, more respect for his brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves his God and understands that God loved them so much that he gave his life for them on the cross. And one might say, well, Brother Ronnie, humility is a wonderful thing, but don't you think there's things that really hinder humility for us, and there's things that are difficult to overcome? It's just hard for me to achieve that. And yes, there's things that hinder us in this world. This world is not for you, dear child of God, in being humble and living a humble life before God here in this world. The world is against you. The devil is against you. You know, if someone could quote Romans 8:28 and say, everything is working together for you good to be humble, that person has not read the rest of the Bible. Because the devil and this world and my carnal nature is completely against me living a humble life before the Lord, my God in heaven, and living a life obedient unto him. Let me give you some examples of individuals who had things that we would consider to be extreme hindrances, but yet they labored to overcome. I love in the book of Revelation, it makes reference to those that are blessed because they would overcome. And brothers and sisters, God is able to give us more grace, not to get us in heaven, but to help us here in this life. James says he would give more grace, and God is able to give us grace, and God has never called on us to be anything that his grace is not sufficient to help us to do it. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we find a man named Moses. And this man named Moses, according to Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, he was brought up and taught in all the ways of the Egyptians. Could you agree with me this evening that Moses at that time probably had as good of education as a person could get on this earth? And the Bible teaches us that knowledge, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, puffeth up. Knowledge and education is often difficult to overcome to be humble before the Lord. You know, the reason they can't be humble before the Lord, they've been educated into arrogance. That's what happened. You know, I love what the old preacher said. You know, I appreciate all the education that I've got in this world, but thanks be to God, I got over most of it. Amen? Amen. Moses had as good education as an individual could have on this earth at that time, but when the Lord called on Moses in service, you know what Moses' response was? Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, he said, here am I. Here am I. Individuals in this life may have positions in this life that you would think would prohibit someone, like someone that would be exalted to an earthly position. You know, it's difficult for that individual to humble themselves because they would think about their position and all that they had concerning that position. I find in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, there was a man named David. You know who David was at that time? He was king over Israel. How about that position? That man was blessed of God to be the king over Israel, sitting on the throne of those people that were identified as the people of God. And when God called on him in service, you know what David said? Here am I. Sometimes accomplishments, individuals that would accomplish things in this world, you'd say that's a hindrance for someone to display humility before God. I find in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18, this is David after God blessed him to kill Goliath in the presence of Israel. What about that accomplishment? I think Brother Mickey would agree with me that I don't think I've done anything in my life that would compare to what David did that day, Brother Mickey. I mean, David was blessed of God to bring down that giant in the presence of the king of Israel and all the armies of Israel. And after that, Saul of Kish, who didn't do this with a humble spirit, but rather he desired to do this, that it would be a snare to David. He was going to give David his daughter to wife. And you know what David said after that great accomplishment? Who am I? Who am I that I would have the king's daughter? Moses, who am I that I would be in service to God? David, who am I? Not here am I. I think I said here am I earlier. Who am I? Who am I? What about means in this life? Individual that would have so much. You know, I heard someone say the other day that money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that person looked at me and said, well, you don't have to admit all money is bad, Ronnie. I said, well, I don't know if I'd say that. Well, they said, well, money can't buy happiness. I said, no, money can't buy happiness, but it'll sure make you feel comfortable in your misery. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. There was a man named Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 6. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 63, Solomon in the dedication of the temple made peace offerings, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. How about that? Is that means? Wow. Now those peace offerings, if you go back and study Leviticus, were made and they'd be cooked and it'd be a feast that they would have before the Lord. A peace offering is something that would be held before the Lord, but eaten by those that would offer. And so they had a great feast that day. I bet no one there went home with their belly empty when they dedicated that temple. But just to think about those means that the individual would have to be able to offer 120,000 sheep and 22,000 oxen. Yet when God called on Solomon, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6, he said this, same thing as Moses, David, same thing as David when Saul of Kish was going to give him his daughter. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I shouldn't be humble before the Lord? Who am I? What have I done in my life? What have I accomplished in my life? By what means could I say that I am great? Can I tell you this evening that all that we have actually belongs to God? He's just letting us stay in it for a little while. Down in South Georgia, that's what they'd say. Somebody say, where do you live? Well, I stay down here. God's just letting me borrow this little house for a little while. I'm thankful that God blessed me with a good wife that I have. But you know, really, she belongs to him. Who am I? Who am I that I wouldn't be humble before God? Go to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. There was a man named David there. He said, what am I? What is man? What am I? I am nothing. Without God, I am nothing and less than nothing. If there's any good in me, it came from God. And let me labor to display that good in my life. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, there was a man named Mephibosheth. That man named Mephibosheth was before David, king of Israel, and said, I am but a dead dog. That was Mephibosheth before David, the king of Israel. Could I say the distance between me and God is much further than the distance between Mephibosheth and the king of Israel? What am I but a dead dog? A great man named Abraham, a man of faith, a man that trusted God, a man that served God, a man whose life fills up so much in Scripture. When he went before the Lord in Genesis chapter 18, verse 27, he said, I am but dust and ashes. There was a man named Job that was an upright man that did good and eschewed evil. And that man named Job, when the Lord appeared unto him and commended him for his faith and maintaining his integrity, yeah, Job said he abhorred himself and was just nothing but dust and ashes. What am I? What am I without God? Who am I? When I think about all that, it just brings me to a place where I should be humble before the Lord. What am I? I'm a man that deserves hell forever and ever. Who am I? I'm less than a fire ant to a man unto the Lord that inhabiteth in eternity. Who am I? What am I? I am nothing without God. Therefore, I should live my life in humility before the Lord. Well, Brother Ronnie, could you help me and direct me to someone in the Bible that gave us an example, a beautiful example of this humility? I know you mentioned the Lord. Who is another? Let's go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. There was a man there named Saul of Tarsus. Now, he didn't exhibit humility all his life. No, there's a time in his life that he would chase after and hail people and stand and watch them be stoned. He consented unto the death of Stephen and others, according to the book of Acts. But the Lord struck him down. There was one that was mightier than his arrogant spirit. Aren't you glad that there's one that's mightier and greater than your carnal, arrogant spirit? And that's God in heaven. And if we got good in us, it's because one greater than us has took his abode up in our heart. And Saul of Tarsus, his response to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Wow, now that's humility. What would you have me to do? I had a conversation with someone here recently about our modern time that we live in here in the United States. And of course, often the world can leak into the church. I heard a preacher say many years ago about Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was on the water, but it wouldn't be good for the water to be in the ark. Here in this world, sometimes the world leaks in. And my brother that was talking to me was very concerned about the lack of reverence that people have of the Lord and his service in the church. You know what we should be in the church? Just what God has told us to be and have reverence toward him. Our communion services should be conducted with reverence toward God. I mean, I'm not saying we can't enjoy life. We can't have fun. I enjoy having fun. Elder Ricky Myers and I love to have fun with each other all the time. He just makes me laugh. But we still need to labor to have reverence toward God in our service. You know what that means? That means doing it the way God said. And let us be like Abraham. Here's the here am I. God called Abraham. Here am I. God called Jacob. Here am I. God called Moses 3:4. Here am I. God called Samuel. Here am I. And let us understand what we're called to be. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And you know, having that humility before the Lord as God is our God and ruler, our Savior in heaven, it will bless us to have a greater respect and humility before our brothers and sisters here in this life. You know, God has told us what is good for us. But do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God in heaven. We should be individuals that are laboring to transform ourselves, that would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, showing forth that love for him. You know, this world says we need to have love, but what they're saying is not true. you know, you've got communities in this world that use like acronyms to describe them, LGBTQT. And they're saying, you know, if you don't love us and if you're not permissive to us and if you're not this, then you're full of hate. Brothers and sisters, permissiveness is not humility. It's not. It is not. Permissiveness and to tolerate the wickedness of this world is not humility, because if we love God, we rejoice in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, humility is being humble to what God has told us to be. Next, humility is taking what God has blessed us to have and not to boast in it as we're something great, but continually walk before the Lord, having a thankful spirit for what he's done for us. And in that, laboring with other children of God that have had struggles in this life, remembering without God, that would be us as well. May God richly bless you is our prayer, and I would trust that God would bless me to have a more humble spirit before the Lord and before my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would desire to serve him and to please God. And our brother preached earlier tonight, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him.